Welcome to the ICEF podcast, where we discuss all things cybersecurity. I'm your host, Steve Durbin.
ISF CEO Steve Durbin is an expert in leadership, business culture transformation, and cyber strategies for today's top enterprises. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. In the second part of his interview with journalist Nick Witchell, Steve delves into the world of AI and cyber. He shares his thoughts on autonomous cyber defense and argues that major actors like the ISF, large private enterprises, and the UK's National Cybersecurity Centre must lead the way and support small and medium-sized businesses in keeping pace with technological advancements. The two also discuss the future of AI, cautioning that we aren't as prepared as we need to be.
Let's talk about AI. AI and automation are being used increasingly for both cyber defense and offense. What's your take on autonomous cyber defense? How can these new tools be used without compromising security?
Yeah, autonomous cyber defense, I'm not a huge fan, I'll declare that. You see, where I sit on AI and on all of technology, actually, is that I think that where we get the best from these tools, and people disagree with me, actually, about calling AI a tool. I've had plenty of discussions around that, but I'm adamant that it is a tool. And the reason I say that is that we get the best from these kinds of tools when we have a link between the tool and the person. So human plus AI, human plus technology. So the concept of totally autonomous systems, to me, is a disaster waiting to happen. It's a bit like the autonomous car. You'll never get me going into an autonomous car. I just won't do it. And people will say, yes, they're being looked after by some bloke in a tower somewhere who's watching it. I'm not buying it. I think I've been working in technology for far too long to know that it is fallible. And so I think we have to really move towards much more transparency in our understanding of where the AI tool is active, the data that it's using, the decisions it's making. Fully autonomous AI is taking data, making its decision based on that data, putting out more data that it then uses to make decisions about where it goes next. So the integrity of that data, right back at the beginning, is paramount. Very few organizations can guarantee that. And so you have to have this human oversight. You have to have strong governance, and you have to have good policies in place to manage it.
All of which would suggest that you have severe doubts about AI implementation as a cyber defense mechanism in the current landscape.
I would say I've got a healthy skepticism. I think that it can work, but we need to be, as people, involved and engaged in it and use it, as I say, appropriately rather than sitting back and saying, you know, rest easy, Nick, it's going to sort it out. And that really is just based on experience. I've yet to come across an organization that has suffered some form of significant breach where they've all headed off down to the local coffee shop and said, don't worry about it, AI is going to put it all back together. It doesn't work like that. When the systems are down, the systems are down. And somebody has to go back and begin to start putting it back together. And that's not AI. That's an individual.
The NCSC in the UK has said, keeping pace with frontier AI capabilities will almost certainly be critical to cyber resilience for the decade to come. But how do businesses set about doing that when technology is changing, the speed with which it is changing?
Very difficult for them to do it. And again, we have to look at, specifically in the UK, we have to look at our organisations that are there. Now, the majority of businesses in the UK are small to mid-sized businesses. They do not have the technical capability. They do not have the time, they do not have the money to be doing that kind of thing. So the role of the NCSC, I would suggest, is to help them keep a pace with that. So the NCSC's role, I think, is very much more accentuated and important over the next decade, targeted at those smaller companies. We then look at the big companies. The big companies, yes, they are big enough to be able to do that themselves. They should be working much more closely and will have to over the coming years with the large big tech vendors in that space. They will have a lot more to contribute as well, I think, to the likes of NCSC and also to their supply chain organizations to raise that level of awareness. So I think we're looking for large private enterprise to be working collaboratively with people like the NCSC, with people like the ISF, to really help some of these smaller organizations that don't have the luxury of resource available to them to keep a pace with it.
And what would you say is the single most important thing that business leaders can do to prepare for AI-generated cyber intrusions?
That is a very difficult question to answer. I think it is, as I've said, it's about, first of all, making sure that you understand what is important to your business. It sounds obvious, but actually it isn't, because businesses have become incredibly complex. So I think the chief executive, the C-suite in an organization, just being really clear on what is important so that they can maintain their business. Then look at where that sits from a data, from a technology standpoint. Then look at how that can be protected. And then look at whether or not it is influenced or accessed by AI. We've moved fairly quickly into a space where we're seeing a deepfake proliferation, AI-driven deepfake. So people are starting to understand the power of some of these things. I think it's just about them joining the dots and saying, okay, now, if that were to take place, what would I do? So it's playing out different scenarios. And I think it's no more complex than that, actually. It's about really rehearsing and just digging into some of the intricacies of the way in which the business works and assessing how susceptible it might be to some form of AI-driven attack. We're not at the point yet where, for the majority of businesses, and this is a good thing, they're going to be open yet to massive AI-driven attack. The time will come, but we still have some time to prepare for it. So I think that the preparation has to be, let's understand what we absolutely are doing, where does it sit, how do we protect it, what would we do when things go wrong? And that's about building the resilience piece back in. How do we respond? Do we have air-gapped backups, for instance? Do we have them stored separately in an entirely different site? Do we have them in a different part of the world? Are we storing things in the cloud? If so, where's that all going to be? Are we going to put it with one cloud provider? Or are we going to split it out across a number of others? Some of these questions we seem to have forgotten we were asking some years ago. I remember very well when cloud first began to become the latest shiny new thing, all sorts of horror stories emerging where you had companies that had put all of their eggs in one particular basket. Well, here we are, 8-10 years down the road, and we still haven't learned those lessons. So I think we need to be relying on history a little bit more to predict the future.
You've talked about the importance of the partnership between AI and the human, the person. It's the most effective way of driving forward. But let's talk about the implications of this, of AI, on staffing levels. Now, Channel 4 in the UK, its dispatches program, was hosted recently by an AI bot. And let's be candid, that's the future, isn't it? An awful lot of jobs are going to be replaced by a bot.
Yeah, I'm torn on this one. I think that certain jobs are going to go. There's no point us trying to sugarcoat it and pretend that they're not. There are certain things that automation is going to be able to do far better. If we look back into the world of cyber, some of the sort of network monitoring and analysis and that kind of thing, deadly dull. People don't really like doing it. Well, some people do. Of course, I've probably just offended a whole range of people that depend on that. But if we can automate that, fantastic, because we've then got the people that we can use to do something different. I think within cyber particularly, we always have to bear in mind that we still do have a skill shortage. And so the ability to take people who are doing one job, upskill them, retrain them to do something different is one that we should all welcome. When you move into some of the areas, though, that you're talking about, such as the media, replacing presenters with AI bots, that frankly horrifies me, because I think that part of the value that is contributed to the story, whatever it might be, is the manner in which it is conveyed, human to human. I would dread to think of a time when we were removing completely all form of human contact. And so I would really suggest that people think very long and hard about that.
Indeed. AI is moving so quickly. It's got the immense power of the tech giants behind it. Are we thinking anything like as carefully as we need to think about the implications of it for the future?
I don't think we are, Nick. I don't think we are. And that saddens me. I think we've been too slow to, and again, it's back to the point I was making about history. If you go back to the internet, we didn't do a good enough job of trying to forecast the way in which the internet was going to be used. We put it out there and we said, let everybody use it and let's see where it goes. We're doing I fear a similar kind of thing with AI. I have fears around quantum and those sorts of things that will be coming as well if we don't get a grip on these sorts of things. And we need to be providing some fairly strong guidance around how organizations can make use of it, but how big tech develops it as well. And where does the data come from that they begin to feed the algorithms with? How transparent are those algorithms? What about bias? You know, all of these sorts of things. Because these, if we roll forward a few years, once they're embedded into AI systems, it really is a black box. We can't unpick that. It's difficult enough for us to go back through software code that's been written, right, by people. If you now fast forward, think about many times more complexity around code written not by people, but by AI, we stand absolutely zero chance. Now, somebody listening to this will say, well, don't worry about that, Steve, because we get AI to do it. So we then have AI policing AI, and then we may as well all just pack up and go home, in my opinion, because you cannot rely on that unless you put in place some of those foundations. I think we've still got a little bit of time to do it, but it's a very short time.
All of which suggests that we are not in any way taking the steps that we need to take to prepare for the future, that we're not sufficiently on our guard against the dangers that this route is taking us towards. Do you see any movement in the direction that you feel that we need to be taking?
I think that we're starting to see some guidance coming out of places like the EU. I think the EU AI Act has got good at its heart. I think it needs to go through another evolution based on, it's the point you were making earlier about just how fast everything is changing. But, you know, if I look at the world and how governance around these systems is evolving, you know, we have very different approaches in different parts. And the difficulty with it that we really need to confront is that we do bring in componentry systems that are created in one part of the world with one set of norms into different parts of the world where they're then integrated and become inherent in the infrastructure that we're using. So it's exceptionally difficult for us to unpick all of this. And I suppose if I'm going to be very skeptical about it, which I don't like to be because I tend to be quite hopeful about these things, but if I want to be skeptical, I'm not seeing anyone at the moment really emerging as somebody that people are going to levitate towards that's going to be able to pull all of these things together globally. Geopolitically, we are in such a mess. There's so much instability. There is so much focus on different things from the more traditional wars through to cyber, AI. It's a massive issue. And I suppose the sad thing is it's probably not a vote winner at this point in time.
Sobering, but there is a need for people to wake up and become more aware of where this is taking us. I think you would agree.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt at all.
Steve, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more expert insights and thought-provoking discussions. But in the meantime, if you really enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to rate, review, and share the podcast. If you're interested in becoming an ISF member or continuing the conversation further, please do get in touch with me at steve.durbin@securityforum.org or indeed get hold of me on LinkedIn. And remember, you can explore all our media and resources at our website, securityforum.org.